This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Monday. It's an Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. Time for your top five at five. Here once again is Jake Miller.
Number one, the kickoff time has been announced for Tennessee's game at Missouri on October 2nd. Kickoff will be at noon on SEC Network in what looks like a game that could go 50-50 for the Vols.
Yeah, I think the ESPN FPI had Mizzou at a 56% chance to win that as of last week, which is essentially a toss-up. So,
how's Boganovich's leg? Blazevic or whatever the hell his name is.
I don't know. They blew out Central Michigan at home on Saturday, so I don't know what you.
I didn't get to watch that one. And that one's in Columbia. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So,
I hate that it's a noon game. I am glad that we're not playing them at 7:30 or 8 o'clock up there in November when it's like, what? I wouldn't want to live there, man.
I've been up there
like
before.
40 degrees. I mean, it's cold up there.
I've been up there in November, and it's bitter cold, man. And the wind's going to cut you in, too. It's just bad.
Is Missouri real flat? I've never been there.
Yes.
The wind just rips.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. You get every bit of it.
I mean, I think that's a definitely winnable game. We could score with them. It'll just, you know, can we get enough defense to? That's what do you call it? Those are the make and break games on our schedule, Russell.
Do we have a quarterback? Can Joe Milton come back healthy and complete some of those deep balls? If we can, that could be – I mean, that has potential to be a really fun game. I mean, it might not be fun for Tennessee fans while you're watching it, but it does have the potential. It's one of those games where if you didn't have a rooting interest in it, you just sit back and watch. And I don't know if we have it this year, but with Drinkwitz and Heupel, I would assume that next year's game will be one of those 49-42 games, which is just – the way football is headed right now at all levels.
Big 12 style.
Well,
yeah, but
NFL
really
style.
Out of those games. That's the other way of looking at it.
I mean, that's essentially
Bama,
what the
yeah.
Chiefs and Ravens are doing last night. So,
yeah.
Whoever has the ball last will win.
And number two, after seeing two games of defensive mistakes and a lack of significant change, Ryan Day handed play calling duties over to secondary coach Matt Barnes on Saturday against visiting Tulsa. Kerry Coombs, the Buckeyes defensive coordinator, had been calling plays from the sideline to start the season, but after the 41-20 win over Tulsa, they told reporters they made the change earlier in the week to give the defense its best shot at success. But guys, in that first half, Ohio State did not look that good.
Well, I mean, who looks good in college football? I mean, people have been wanting parity, and yeah, Alabama and Georgia are probably the best teams, but I mean, everybody has an Achilles heel, and really, even Alabama and Georgia. I mean, if you really want to nitpick, you could say, well, Alabama's given up more rushing yards than they have the past couple of years, and Georgia's quarterback virtually ineffective in their season opener against a really good Clemson team. They've looked much better.
They don't play regular season, do they?
Who?
This year. Does Alabama play Georgia this year?
No.
Mm-mm.
Regular season?
I have a feeling we'll be seeing them in Atlanta, though, towards the end of the year.
I don't know. I'll be interested to see if Georgia's going to be able to slow down that Florida rushing attack.
It'll be a good one. The unstoppable force against the immovable object. Did you guys see, if you want to see something hysterical, go find, I think Barrett Salee tweeted it out earlier, Shane Beamer being asked about some kid said, what is it about Georgia's defensive line that was causing you problems?
His face.
He was like, what do you mean? They're all five stars. They have a 300-pound guy that runs better than anybody on this phone call. They're all really well-coached and really good. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you. Any more dumbass questions? He didn't say that, but that's basically what he said.
Oh, God, I would have liked it more if he had said that. Any more dumbass questions? Awesome.
And number
three. Yeah, I mean, Georgia's defense, I think Georgia's probably got the best defense in the country.
Number three, Lamar Jackson was 0-3 versus Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs headed into last night's game. The Ravens trailed in the third quarter, but rallied back and won the game 36-35. After the game, Lamar Jackson said he felt like the monkey was finally off his back.
I hate this.
Why do people give him
Ravens
so much crap?
Because he's a damn hot dog. You see him scoring that the touchdown last night, doing a flip into the end zone. I wish he landed on his damn head and sprained his neck, couldn't play the rest of the year. Yeah, I said it.
That's a 23-year-old young man.
He's older
he's
than that.
He's out there performing.
He's
really
a grown man. He needs to start acting like he doing a front.
I'm
Russell. Here's the thing.
He needs to act like a grown
if they're gonna
man.
Do, if they're gonna call
head,
that taunting penalty on the defensive back from Seattle for taunting Antonio Brown at the end of that play, or I can never remember his name.
The taunting thing.
If they're gonna call that, you got to call freaking Lamar for doing a front flip into the end zone last night. What the hell's that?
I didn't know you were a Lamar hater.
He's a hot dog. The whole Ravens, they need to get smacked in the mouth. Their comeuppance is coming. What if they ever won, by the way? What has Lamar Jackson ever won besides the Heisman?
I just like watching the kid play football, man. He's incredibly talented.
Overrated.
He's fun. He's really fun to watch. Oh, overrated.
Overrated.
Come on, Russ. That kid's incredible with the ball in his hand in the open field.
Yeah. We'll see how.
That was a great game last night.
We'll see how incredible he is once Bud Dupree gets a hold of him in the playoffs.
I mean, Bud going to be out of his wheelchair by then?
Looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah.
And number four, AP Top 25 has been released, putting Alabama 1, Georgia at 2, Oregon jumping up to number 3, Oklahoma dropping to 4, and Iowa at 5th, rounding out the top 5. Other notable rankings, Clemson drops 3 spots to 9th, and Ohio State drops to 10th. Florida remains at 11.
What's up, Florida? I don't know what, you know, they lost, but I guess that's probably pretty fair. They didn't drop them.
Ole Miss up.
I'll tell you, I'm telling you, man, Alabama would have trouble with Oregon.
Ole Miss up to 13. Arkansas up to 16. Coastal Carolina up to 17. Shout out to all the Jamie Chadwell.
They dropped one.
Folks, they dropped
Nate
one.
Houston,
oh, dropped a spot.
Davey.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to bump Arkansas up there. And then Michigan to Michigan State, 19-20. Fresno in the top 25 today at 22. Auburn fall down to 23. It's been a bizarre start to the college football season at the top of the top 25 poll this year.
And number five. The post-Clay Helton era at USC has gotten off to a bizarre start ahead of their game on Saturday against Washington State. After landing in Lewiston, Idaho on Friday, the Trojans team plane tipped backward on the tarmac, sending the plane's nose into the air after the grounds crew did not put the plane's tail stand in place. No one was injured, but guys, what would you have done? And what was the worst plane ride you two have ever been on?
Oh, God, I hate flying. What would I have done if I were on that plane? Now, was it – had they just landed or were they changing planes to take off?
They had just landed in Idaho, and they didn't put the tail stand on the back of the plane.
A tail stand? I didn't even know they had
those.
Yeah,
it's like the same principle I was telling you about, you know, with my story. If you've got something that long that is balanced like that, they've got – it's a pin that you drop down, and it – when you're deplaning, because obviously they go from the front to the back and then all the weight's in the back, it's going to naturally tip. Same with a tractor trailer. If you're going up inside a tractor trailer and unloading it from the back to the front. If you don't put that nose pin down, it's going to tip over.
I don't know. I was saying, as far as airplane-related accidents go, if I have to choose, I'm going with that one because obviously they all survived. Everything is fine.
Yeah.
I'd rather have that than, oh, I don't know, crashing into the ocean.
That would be a bad one. I've had two just really bad. One was just weather-related, just summertime, and flew into like a massive thunderstorm over like northwestern Florida.
I flew into a hurricane.
Really?
In 2005, yeah, Hurricane Rita.
And then I was on a flight to New York.
Wasn't that bad. We made it. I'm still here.
And a guy got super drunk in first class and ended up having to have the, what do they call them? The Sky Marshals. We figured out who that guy was on the plane real quick. He ended up having a babysitter. We were about 30 minutes outside of it, you know, into the flight from Atlanta. That guy was lit, causing a ruckus.
Oh, man. That's always nice.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, I wouldn't mess with an airmar. I mean, this is post-9/11, so they weren't fooling around.
All right, that is the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by The Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. You can check them out at either of their two Knoxville locations, the original in Bearden Hill right next to Soccer Taco, or the new location in Blount County in Alcoa on Gill Street. Jake, you said you've got a couple you're going to be taking up there?
Yeah, I got an old iPhone and an old iPad.
They'll buy them from you, man. And if you need something, if you're in a pinch, you need a quick phone, you need a device, they've got them for you out there. Great. You're going to save a lot of money at the Phone Exchange. All right, open lines the rest of the way here. It's Overreaction Monday. Let's get Titans Bill in here next. Good afternoon, Bill.
How you doing, Doug C?
Fantastic, sir. How are you?
I'm doing just great. It was the Derrick Henry show in the second half.
Hey, it was good to see you again. It'd been a while since we've seen that show. I was beginning to worry that maybe that show had been canceled, but evidently not.
I was too, guys. I was wondering if we'd finally gotten to the point where, even though it would be fairly quickly, it was going to be diminishing returns.
No, when he turned the corner on that 60-yarder, it's like, okay, yeah, there's that guy. There's that guy.
I believe there was one mistake that the Titans defense made in that second half by giving up that too easy touchdown to Seattle.
Oh.
And that touchdown was too easy.
Ricola. Was that a bust? I mean, it had to have been a bust, right? I mean, there was just nobody within 20 yards of that guy.
Yeah, blown assignment.
Yep.
Somebody was asleep at the wheel.
I mean, I thought the other thing that, you know, as I was watching, as crazy as this sounds with 34 seconds left to go in the game, I thought they were leaving Russell Wilson way too much time to work with. Just as fast as he can go down the field. Were you guys not worried?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, you saw what they did at the end of the first half. They had like a 70-yard touchdown drive in about 30 seconds. I mean, it was crazy. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, you're down there on the goal line. You have to score. You can't worry about – I mean, you have to get in the end zone. You needed a touchdown at that point. So it just – they played it perfectly. As it turned out, Titans Bills, big win.
Yeah, it was. Guys, I'll tell you one thing about this upcoming game against Florida. I hate to say this, but I really feel that we do not have – you know, I agree with Bear.
I just cannot
get enthusiastic. All right, we beat Tennessee Tech. Big deal. It was like us playing Farragut High School.
Yeah, but I've done some soul searching during the 5 o'clock break, Bill, and you know we can't. I mean, are we going to be able to be competitive with Alabama, Florida, and Georgia this year? Probably not. But you know, we should absolutely be competitive every other game on the schedule and should be bowl eligible, which would be a big step for this bunch. So,
well, my philosophy is this: will the real talented quarterback please stand up? Do we really have a talented quarterback? That's the question right there.
I mean, I like Hooker. I mean, we've put up a lot of points with him. My biggest concern with Hooker is ball security, and then Milton, I think, is ceiling obviously to everybody. It's as high as anybody in the nation. It's just, can he start connecting on his deep balls? Like his short and mid range stuff is good. He makes really good reads. He's only had one really bad play, and that's the play he got hurt on, where he probably should have gotten rid of the ball. But he's a big, strong kid. You know, it's just, we're kind of there. So, and I think we'll be able to score, you know, I mean, I think Eiffel's going to be able to put points up on, like, I think we'll probably put my, I never thought I'd say this, I think we've got a better shot at putting up a lot of points on Alabama than we do Florida.
You know, somebody is going to bump off Florida. Alabama. Who could that team be? Could it be Ole Miss?
It could be Ole Miss.
That's going to be a fun game, man.
Could it be Arkansas? Because look, Arkansas, didn't they upset Texas yesterday? If my mind serves me correctly.
I think going into that weekend, Russ, I guess you could call that going into the weekend, maybe everybody thought it was an upset, but I think now, you know, a few weeks into the season, Bill, that Arkansas is a good football team. Pittman's got it rolling down there. He's got two really good coordinators. And
well, we'll find out a lot more about them this week. I mean, they're playing Texas A&M in College Station. So, I mean, we're going to –
I'm calling for the upset right now.
Yeah, we're going to find out pretty quickly how for real they are. As I think with the injury to Haynes King, I think those are two pretty evenly matched squads. So they're good. But, again, you know, I keep going back to you look at these second-year coaches, Kiffin at Ole Miss, Pittman at Arkansas. Can Heupel do that? Because neither of those two teams were worth a damn last year. There's this weird media narrative out there that, oh, man, these guys injected all this enthusiasm because Ole Miss almost beat Alabama and Arkansas beat LSU or whoever they beat last year. Did they beat LSU? They beat Mississippi State the week after they beat LSU. And everybody talked about all – Arkansas, I think, was 3-7 last year. And then Ole Miss was 4-5. Well, they're both really good this year. Nobody's discounting that. So whatever happens this year happens, Titans, Bill. But if we can find our quarterback, can you get to where those two programs are next year? Because to me, that's the goal. That's the journey we're on right now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, on another note, and I thought about this, Ravens and Chiefs versus the Emmys. If I had to take a guess, ratings-wise, there was probably more people that watched the football game than the Emmys.
Are you a big Emmys watcher, Titans, Bill? Is that something that floats your boat?
No. I'm not really turned on to that. No. I hope that some of my favorite shows won Emmys, like Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, Chicago Bears.
Tides, Bill, you're breaking up on us, buddy. Your phone really, really did well today, man. I'm really proud of that phone because it came through better than it usually does. I'll say that. Quick timeout. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Back to the busy, busy phone lines, and Brad is next. Good afternoon, Brad.
Hey, Dubsy. Hey, Bear.
What's up, man?
What's going on, buddy?
How much, man? Bear, you were talking a little while ago about recruiting, and you didn't have really a lot of faith in Josh Heupel's being able to recruit. I believe if Josh Heupel was not able to recruit well enough to win at Tennessee, I believe he would be the first. Would you not agree, Russ?
Yeah, I mean, it's like Dave Bartu said, this job recruits itself, man. You got to be a real piece of Samsonite not to be able to sign at least top 20 level signing classes here.
Absolutely. It all goes back to we've got to stop hiring morons and idiots, because we got to stop hiring people that tells Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields you don't fit our system.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. You got to – I know this is going to sound revolutionary, but you have an opportunity to sign a really good quarterback. You need to sign the really good quarterback. I mean, I don't know, Brad. Maybe that's crazy talk, but that's the way I see it.
Another thing that's kind of got me, Russ, is we have the ability now to – players to sign deals, NIL deals, these big companies, these big corporations. If we're going to slack in recruiting, if we're going to fall by the wayside in recruiting, it's going to be because of that. It's going to be because where are our big money boosters? You hear all these announcements of Miami signing this Miami booster that owns a company, signed this player, giving all this money out. There is absolutely zero buzz about the University of Tennessee in NIL.
Well, that's not completely true. There's not a lot of buzz on this year's team because, A, it's new, and, B, there isn't a lot of star power on this roster, which, of course, I mean, I guess you can blame that on Josh Heupel, but that seems pretty dumb to me. But let me tell you, there's a reason.
No, you can't blame that on Heupel. That's all on lack of star. All our star power is, you know, one of them ran for,
yeah,
I think Gray was closing in on 100 yards for Oklahoma, Toa Toa, who did not have a good game against Florida.
Yeah, we know. They're not here. But there's a reason that Walter Nolan, who wasn't listening to the previous staff, is listening to the new staff. And, Brad, if you don't think that part of Rodney Garner's pitch to him is, hey, you're an in-state guy, and now you're basically a hometown guy, there will be NIL opportunities to get you paid once you come here. If you don't think they're lining that stuff up, then I got something else for you, because that's absolutely happening.
But these other schools are announcing that. They're on the news. I mean, it's on the airwaves. Heck, we're even talking about other schools. I mean, the kid from Texas that's going to Ohio State. You don't hear nothing about us.
Well, I mean, he's going there right now. You know, that's a five-star guy. I mean, it's coming. I mean, that's going to happen, and that's going to happen everywhere right now. Now, are there going to be schools that have better relationships and can outbid play? I don't know. Maybe not. We don't know. It's just it's very early when it comes to that kind of stuff. But, I mean, we don't have anybody that commands that type of you know, weight, whatever you want to call it, drawing power.
All I know is if I was Danny White, I'd be like, what's his name, Wayne Brady. I'd be trying to make a deal. It'd be.
I think they are.
I mean, I've been surprised at.
Thank you. Brad.
You know, hearing as I listen to the radio, hearing all the different ones, you know, around the different kids around town, I expect that. To hear more, I haven't heard any of the basketball players, but I mean, if our local business was looking at something like that, you know, we've got plenty of kids on the baseball team.
I mean, Fulkerson's already got several deals locally. I've seen Josiah Jordan James with a deal locally, so it's already happening. Basketball, you're going to see it happen more and more as we get closer to the season, I'm sure.
We've also got guys that are signing deals with basically the exclusive DoorDash company, It's Just Wings, which is owned by Chili's. I think we've got three or four guys that have signed with them.
Hey, man, come to Tennessee. All the free chicken wings you can handle. You will not go hungry.
Necessarily be a...
Yeah, it's not going to be like Arian Foster. What was his story where he had to call
his
assistant coach, bring me some tacos.
Said, bring me some tacos or I'm going to do something stupid.
Tacos Foster.
Arian Foster, do something stupid. No.
Bobby Fino. He's a hell of a rapper. Have you heard his stuff?
No.
Mm-mm. Pretty good.
I'll take your word for it. Folks, Monday Night Football coming up tonight. We got who do we have tonight? Packers and the Lions. That's right. That's right. This will be a good one. FanDuel wants to help you get the most out of every play every week. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. So, you got Packers Lions tonight. I like the Packers, obviously, in this one to win. So, if I were going to build a same-game parlay, I might go with, the Packers money line. That seems like a pretty safe one. I'll take the over on Aaron Rodgers' passing yards and the under on total points in the fourth quarter. Boom. Three-leg, same-game parlay. It's just that easy. Go check it out on FanDuel, where the payouts are always fast and on time, where the app is super easy to use, where the app is super safe and super secure. It's America's number one sports book. It's FanDuel. No feeling like nailing a same-game parlay. Lock in your bet today on FanDuel and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with our promo code DRIVE1 to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on the mobile and on the web. Gambling problem, call 1-800. Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Quick timeout. More of your phone calls coming up. Stay with us. It's The Drive. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Let's talk to David. Good afternoon, David. You're on The Drive.
Hey, Russell. Hey, Bear.
What's up, man?
Hey, Jay. Hey, plug out to the phone exchange, Russell. That's where I got my phone about a year ago, sent several of my family members up there. Great place to go. If anybody needs a phone, go to the phone exchange.
Well done, sir.
Well, thank you, Russ. Hey, guys, real quick, I was sitting here thinking kind of a game plan you would throw against Florida. Offensively, Tennessee's offensive. And, you know, Heupel's got this quick, high tempo, likes to score, you know, 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes. Don't you think in this game here that he needs to really slow this game down a little bit and maybe try to, you know, keep the ball, you know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, something like that, instead of trying to go so quick?
The problem you get into when you start doing that, David, is that, if you're going against what, you know, your whole identity is offensively, I think you can end up screwing yourself up.
Right.
I think you don't want to alter too much what your identity is, you know, on either side of the ball. I thought Florida, obviously Alabama exploited them through the air. They looked pretty tough against the run. I think we're probably going to find pretty tough sledding against them on the ground. I think what it'll come down to is are we going to be able to slow down their rushing attack?
Right. Do you think they ought to use the perimeter more so, Bear, instead of trying to play Florida up the middle, try to keep their linebackers, you know, spread out?
I mean, just try to
dink and dock them down the field?
You can try that. You just have to be – when you start throwing outs, you know, I've seen it just over the years. The upper-tier SEC teams are so fast laterally.
Yeah, they break him routes off a lot of times. We've seen that.
You've got to be real sure the quarterback does before he lets the ball go, and he's got to get it there on time and as fast as he can, because, you know, we're getting into the part of the schedule now where any of these DBs we're playing, it'll be nothing for them to jump her out. So,
which quarterback, guys, do y'all think would play better throwing the ball rolling out?
Oh, Russ? Man. I don't know.
You know, kind of like what Kiffin did with Crompton. I mean, he got Crompton moving around in the pocket. Crompton turned into a draft pick.
Well, here's the question you got that we don't know the answer to, David, is what is Milton's status with that ankle? If it's a severe sprain and you're just, you know, I don't think you want to be running him very much.
Right.
My gut tells me if they're both healthy that Milton's just the better athlete. He's the better player. But
do you think he can throw on the roll, Russell? I mean, or do you think he's more got to set his feet? Because I think a lot of what his overthrown is just, in my opinion, I think it's a lot of anxiety. Just the game is so fast. He's trying to go so fast. And that's why I was questioning maybe you slow the game down just a little bit for him maybe. Maybe he can see it a little better. I'm just curious if maybe that's kind of part of his – was his problem earlier – is that Heupel was just trying to go at such a fast tempo, because in Pittsburgh, I mean, how many false start penalties did we had? I think that had a lot to do with that, just trying to get to the line so quick.
Well, I definitely agree with the anxiety being his issue. I just think he gets pumped up and throws it too far. But the one thing I'll say, and Heupel has hinted at this without just coming out and saying it several times, which is the offense works faster, which is what he wants, and I don't think he's going to change and slow down, even though he might ought to, as you're indicating. But the offense works better and just functions faster when Milton's in there.
Right.
And the best it's looked is the first two possessions of the season before Cooper Mays got hurt. Mm-hmm. And I just you can tell that when it's out there. So – that,
what was it Trey said? It was like a difference. Trey actually broke it down. Sorry, guys. It was a pretty substantial difference in how quick that they were able to get to the line and get the plays off after Cooper. I think it was like 8 or 10 seconds, which is
right. That's what I think. I'd heard that bear that they had lost about 10 seconds per snap, and then when Hooker come in, they even dropped down even a little bit more than that. It seemed like he was probably a good 13 or 14 seconds behind when Milton was in there originally.
Well,
real quick, I'm going out the door. Defensively, do you think Tennessee's going to have to blitz? Do you think they're going to have to man up? Or do you think they got to play zone against Florida? And I'll hang up, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, David. I don't know.
I'll tell you what. Tune in tomorrow. We have T-Fair Tuesday. And he's always the best person about breaking down defensively what we'll need to do. I would imagine we're going to have to load up on the run and just dare Emory Jones to beat us deep to try and slow down their running attack.
Yeah, Terry would definitely be a better person to ask. We'll get his insights tomorrow as we broadcast live from Craven Wings from 3 to 6 for a T-Fair Tuesday. Terry's going to be kind enough to spend all three. I don't know what's going on here. Like the first week he did 1 hour with us. Last week he did 2 hours. This week he's doing 3 hours. I think by next week he's just going to be hosting the entire day. He's going to come in at 7 a.m. Tuesday and just host Three and Out.
Just Tuesdays
Blitz,
with Terry.
Talk Sports, The Drive, and he might stay through overtime. Just 13 hours of T-Fair. And
then his own show from 8 to 10.
Yeah, that's just what that seems to be the way this is trending, folks. It's time to select our North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week. There were some terrific performances once again, and man, it seems like we keep going back to Keaton Herrig out at Loudoun. He had another remarkable performance: 7 total touchdowns, 280 yards passing, 183 yards rushing.
Oof,
that kid is killing it.
That kid,
he's pretty big. I don't know the exact size, but he's a college prospect for sure. Another college prospect is the kid out at Maryville. He's committed to Furman. Carson Jones, 16 of 19, 150 yards, 4 touchdowns. We call it the full Al Bundy as Maryville beat Bearden 42-6 on Friday. Ooh. You had Cooper Cameron of Webb leading the Spartans to a one-point victory at CAK 24-23. That one was a barn burner. Cameron had 19 tackles, an interception that he returned for a touchdown. As the Spartans won there. Chase Adams of Central, 10 tackles, 2.5 sacks, and a 51-0 win over Heritage. But this week's North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week is Fulton wide receiver / defensive back Marcellus Jackson. Excuse me. He had 5 catches, 119 yards, a touchdown, 8 carries for 88 yards. He returned a punt 85 yards for a touchdown, and he had 5 tackles on defense. He's a full stat sheet, man. As the Falcons beat Gibbs 54-26 in a game that was played last Thursday, I believe. So shout out to Marcellus Jackson, this week's North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week. And we appreciate North Knox Siding and Windows for their long-running sponsorship of The Drive in high school football. If you got anything you need to get done on the outside of your house, obviously siding and windows is their specialty. But as the temperature cools off, they will be doing a lot of gutters. You can get those helmets, guards, whatever you call them on your gutters, get the leaves out of there. Doors, handrails, stairs on the outside of your house, anything on the outside, man, they'll take care of it. They do it quickly, they do it well, and they do it for a reasonable price. Call today to set up your free estimate with North Knox Siding and Windows. 865-689-0505 is the number. Let them know I sent you. 865-689-0505 online at NorthKnoxSidingAndWindows.com. Keep things rolling here. Andy is up next. Good afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Doing good, man. Sometimes I feel like as fans, we make some observations and we're basically just throwing everything at the wall to see if it'll stick sometimes. But, you know, the quarterback thing the past last week was a big deal. Past couple weeks been a big deal. But did you guys catch the ball game, the Clemson game, Clemson and Georgia Tech?
I saw the very end of it.
I didn't get to watch any of it.
So things got wild. And the score, I mean, it's not a lot of buzz around it, but did you happen to see that play on the 1 yard line?
Yes.
There towards the end?
Shipley fumbled.
Yeah.
They very easily could have lost that game.
Exactly. And that's where I kind of felt like as a fan, I just had a little bit of a premonition. And I'm like, if Tennessee cannot install just like 2 to 3 plays where you're under center, where you got to have a yard, you know, just something like that, where, you know, we all notice it where we need a first down. You know, that's the first obvious thing, or you're on a goal line. But, man, if you're on your own goal line at the 1 yard line and you're just so sold out into your system to where you can't just have 1, 2, 3 plays where you're under center to get a yard or two to win the game, and then you turn around and fumble in your own. I mean, that's scary.
Oh, yeah.
And they could have lost to a much lesser team, I felt like, anyway, where they had messed around and not taken the game as seriously as they should have. I mean, and I feel like it's a simple thing. Do you think Heupel notices that? Do you think that even registers on our radar that we should have something like that?
I mean, who knows, man? He's not gonna tell us what's inside his mind. We have not run an under center play yet this year, have we?
Not that I've seen.
I don't think so.
And I mean, I don't know. I watch the games, but I mean, maybe I'm forgetting one somewhere.
I don't think we have.
Man, you got to have something. Just, and that's what, those are kind of indicators that I'm looking at. I mean, it's way early, you know. But those are things I need to see out of him as a coach.
I think he said, I think after the game against Pitt, he said that they do have some of that in their playbook. But we haven't seen it yet. And You know, I agree. I think you anybody should have a quarterback sneak. That's just like a fundamental play of football. Even if you're not going to use it. Yeah, like I think you got to be able to run up there and just get on the center's butt and get a yard.
Slap it and go. My bigger issue with that whole sequence of events, and I don't know what he could have done differently, but we've all by now gone back and looked at it. We've seen the overhead shots. That was a first down. And it wasn't even close.
Oh, I know.
And how that went down, where I don't know if we couldn't challenge it. I mean, that I'm aware of. I mean, Jake Russell, feel free to correct me if I'm.
No, he should have challenged it. He messed up. It was like Vrabel yesterday had a very similar thing where we got a bad spot and he didn't challenge it, and you know he was able to overcome it. It was early enough in the game. Heupel wasn't, but
if he had used the challenge and the call stands, then he loses his timeout, which you at the time might have needed later in the game.
But to your original point, Andy, I just don't think – this goes back to what the previous caller was talking about too. I mean, Heupel's got his system, and maybe we see some wrinkles in the future. I think right now he's just trying to establish his thing, and it's got to be maddening, man, when your quarterback's hurt, your center's hurt, your running back's hurt, your best wide receiver had a hammy that he didn't practice much preseason. Like he's already shorthanded, and the guys that he does have are hurt. So I think some of it is he's just trying to practice his system and get guys used to playing the way he wants to play. He's always talking about tempo. And I think more so than plays and scheme, he just wants his guys to play fast. And I think really that's just like 90% of his goal right now is just instilling their style, their identity.
Right. And the thing I do have a question about his system is that I notice, and I don't know what this is based on, but I notice we don't seem to throw a lot of intermediate timing routes. And I don't know if that's a victim of the system type of thing. In fact, the only person I saw throw them really was Milton early on when he was hitting a couple of them in the hands and they were dropped in the first game. And he was throwing some strikes towards the mid-range stuff, but it's like every time we go out of the pocket or we're evading, you know, pressure or whatever we're doing, you just see him uncork and just throw a go route. It's like it's never a deep out.
That's his system, man. I mean, you think about where he played, right? He played for Mike Leach at Oklahoma. And all these spread guys, it's about the geometry of the field. It's about making defenders cover as much of the field as they possibly can. So they're not going to throw it within 5-10 yards of the, you know, the shortest throw is going to be that screen pass that goes all the way to the sideline. You know, they catch it. They're almost standing out of bounds.
It's like a 40-yard throw.
And so they're going to throw that. They're going to throw to the corner of the field. They're going to throw – you know, just vertical takeoffs. I mean, that's the style. That's the system. That's the way we're going to play.
I mean, it all fits together, though. I mean, with the going fast, he's going to have his offense is going to be better conditioned than the defense. He's going to go fast so that you can't sub. If you do try and sub in, he's going to snap the ball and catch you with 12 men on the to make your DBs run 40 or 50 yards every play.
Andy, anything and else, man? Back, we got to run.
And the other thing is
– that's all I got. Thanks, guys. Right.
Thanks, bud. Hey, hold that thought, Bear. Hold that thought. We got to take our final timeout. Back to wrap things up. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Wrapping up, Overreaction Monday presented by The Phone Exchange. Overtime coming up next from 6 until 8. Don't forget, folks, tomorrow, we will be live at Craven Wings for T-Fair Tuesday. really excited about this. It's our first live show at Craven Wings. They just started with us last week. So show a little love to the brand and stop on by. It's going to be it's way out west in Choto, North Shore Drive, way out west. And, man, I'm telling you.
Those cheese curds ain't no joke, man.
The cheese curds, the way to go.
I'm going to need a set of those garlic parms.
My girlfriend had those. She loved them.
Family owned and operated since 2008. Fresh, never frozen. That's their motto. They have fresh 8119 Angus ground beef burgers, hand pattied every day. Their sauces are made in-house, fresh daily. Their French fries are fresh spun. Their spiral fries, made to order. They like to say, quote, when you order your French fry, it's still a potato. That's how fresh it is.
Fresh
Craven
cut.
Wings. 12350 South North Shore Drive. Somebody wanted the address, I guess, so they could punch
put
it in
phone.
To Maps or Waze or whatever you use. 12350 South North Shore Drive. So,
go ahead.
I'm done. What you got?
I was going to say, just to finish up, the one thing I would say in defense of Joe Milton and Heupel and Golish is every time he's pulled the trigger on those, you know, when Milton was in there on those deep balls, our receivers were running free and clear, wide open.
Well,
he just didn't connect on him.
I wonder if what the caller said earlier about, you know, Milton just being too anxious to get out there on the field.
I thought that all along.
I just wonder, does it help any in a road game? I know it sounds ridiculous to say you might play better at the Swamp than you do at home, but without all the pressure, and man, I hate that he heard the Boo Birds in that Pitt game.
Yeah, it was.
You know that that's got to be playing on his mind. Is like, oh man, now he's trying to be perfect and all this that. I wonder,
more pressure.
He just gets out there on the field on the road and just lets it rip. Maybe.
There's a reason that they're starting him. Because like what I think, and I don't know, but I've been heard from, you know, a couple different people that seen him throw at practice. He connects on a lot of these in practice, and that's when I wondered early on if he just, when the lights came on and you're out there in Neyland Stadium for the first time and he just was pressing a little bit and was, you know, just anxiety and the pressure of the spot and just was sailing him. So I feel like if he could just connect on, you know, one or two of them, that's why I wish he had gotten in this past weekend. And I think that's why I was so disappointed that we didn't see him.
Quickly, Jake.
Well, one thing I should say, we shouldn't be booing players. It's one thing to boo a call or one of our play calls. We don't need to be booing our own players.
Dumb. All right. Craven Wings tomorrow with Terry Fair. Come out, see us. For Bear and Jake, I'm Russell. Overtime coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.